This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Our very, very special guest, one of my favourite politicians, and it's a fairly short list, Jane Garrett, the member for Brunswick. Welcome, Jane. How are you?
I am great. Thanks a lot for having me.
It's good to have you here.
Jane, it must be at least 6 months, a year since we last had you here?
I think it's about a year. Yeah, when we had a great show. I really enjoyed it. I love the way this show rolls, and it's informative and fun, and it's just a delight to be here, as it was last time. Meet one of my heroes, Peter.
Right,
I love you.
Jane, how do you do it? How does any politician keep up the workload? Because what I find extraordinary is that you are always on call. It's kind of like, it must feel like you're up for re-election every day of your life. And I don't know how you balance it all, how you balance all the requirements of the electorate and all the requirements of being in Parliament and family and stuff like that. I don't know how you do it.
I've said before, and I think it's, I'm the daughter of a preacher, and and that's very much a calling. And I think politics is like that. It's a vocation. You're driven to it, and you're driven to it because you believe in making a difference. You believe in your community. You believe it can be better, and you've got to love people, I think, to do it well. So I love hanging around. I love meeting. I mean, I had a few meetings this week around planning issues in the local community, people advocating for changes, sporting clubs, schools. I love it. I love the community hall thing. And I know John Thwaites, who's a regular here, he was the same, and you would know that well. He would get a real buzz out of, you know, going to a town hall meeting, and I remember him talking about that, and I'm the same. And if you can get an outcome, a small outcome, a big outcome, it's a great sense of satisfaction personally. Yes, it's hours and it's on the phone, but if you love the rush of it too, we involve our kids. We're really keen on, in our household, there's a big rule that the first important rule is you've got to be able to laugh at yourself, and then I think the rest of the world can laugh with you. So I get a lot of, you know, I get a lot of crap at home in a good way. Mum, here you go again, you know, and oh, you said this, and I like that, you know. You can't take yourself too seriously in this business.
And the key to this is really about enjoying working with people.
Yes.
You know, if you like being with people, it just makes it so much easier because that's what you're always doing. You are always with people.
Yes, and you're always, you know, one of the things I love is hearing a person's story. Mm. You know, where'd you grow up? What drives you? Where are you at now? And you get a privileged position being a politician because people are coming to you with their stories about and wanting you to help with those stories.
And speaking of stories, Jane, I mean, you've had your own story.
Quite the year.
Annus
Horribilis.
Yeah. Annus Horribilis.
Yes. And look at you now.
Yeah, I know. Like, you look fabulous.
Laughing at yourself, that's the key.
You look fabulous,
that's
by the way. Now you've obviously you had a diagnosis of breast cancer, and you've had some treatment for that.
Yes.
Tell us, what did the treatment involve and how was that for you?
Oh, look, you know, I was in hospital and I...
Did you have surgery?
Yeah, I did, yes. And that's always... Yeah, but I've had three kids, all by caesarean. I'm sure your listeners all want to know that.
No.
So I had gone through those processes before, and that helped me. You know, I'd had anaesthetics and things, so that part wasn't terrifying. What's terrifying, of course, is... you know, getting the diagnosis. But I say to people, it's a bit like, and I'm going to use marriage here, and again, for your listeners, say, you know, we're all just demanding the day that you can, you know, legally walk through this door. Because when you get married, you walk through a door and there's suddenly this entire world of marriage. And as a chick, you know, dresses and flowers and all these things that you just don't know exists, right? Mm. Same with a baby. You don't know what pregnancy is, and then suddenly, you know, everyone. And it's the same in a way when you walk through this door. There's this world in there of incredible doctors and nurses and research, and that great announcement today, Neil Danaher.
Yes,
you know, it's a brilliant story, and we're world leading in Melbourne. And again, I'll make plugs for successive Labor governments who've made that commitment to, and to be fair, the Libs backing it in to that precinct in Parkville, world class. Same with the kids.
Have you been through that place?
It's incredible.
It is extraordinary. It is like being inside the Guggenheim Museum. Yep. It is absolutely beautiful.
Yes, it is.
And you walk in and you think, wow, what this says is that I am valued.
Yes.
Correct.
We value the people who come here. We value their experience.
And we value research and science.
Exactly.
And we can do it well.
We lead the world in lots of these places. And and that whole precinct, I'm with you. You walk through it, and you had a lot to do with that, Tass, in your previous life. But, you know, you walk through that and you think this is, and when you've got the kids' hospital kicked in.
Yes.
And we had an experience when our youngest was little, which we needed the children's hospital. And for, again, you know, you walk in there, you're in this terrible situation, and there is nobody asks you who you are, what your bank balance is, you know, where you're from. We were from all walks
who
of
you vote
life.
For.
Exactly, nothing, you know.
And what your sexuality
is. That's right. And
that's how it should be.
And I thought this is the best of Australia when this is, you know, it's not your wallet that determines the world-class care your little baby gets. And that's the same I'm experiencing through this journey. And there's a lot of comfort in that. And there's a lot of comfort knowing that this happens to people. There's people everywhere dealing with this, dealing with it well.
And Jane, whereabouts are you on the journey of your treatment?
Oh, look, you know, like many women who've got this, you sort of stay on medication, but I can manage that easily. Yep. I've been, you know, lucky. I haven't had anything more strong than that. And I feel good.
Fantastic.
Apart from, you know, the the smack in the face of it. But you've got to take, you know, I said recently when I did a feature with the Herald Sun, which you may or may not have seen, but my mantra is that every day I'm going to choose to be hopeful and grateful rather than bitter and twisted, I suppose, is how you... And you have to work at that, but...
And so what impact does it have on your mental health? So we've, you know, in some respects we've talked about the physical stuff, but, you know, the two are in many ways inextricably linked.
Absolutely. I think the biggest battle is often in your head and your heart.
Yeah.
And so you can have terrible darkness. But again, with hopeful and grateful as the mantra, I've had great joy and spent really that precious time. Time is precious. Mm. You live much more in the day. And I think that's a lesson for everybody.
Have the public support and the support of friends, that must be crucial in your recovery and in your dealing with these issues.
Look, you just can't even name how important it is. It's hard to find that word for it. But, I mean, obviously family and friends at the front line of it. But the community's just been, it's been really beautiful. Messages... You know, people that you've never met. You know, I walk down the street and someone will wind down the window, you know, good ocker bloke going, you go for it, Jane, get well. You know, and I think that's a great thing,
yeah,
you know.
Fantastic.
And it's not, yeah, that and that sort of, you walk taller and you feel better and you think, well, you know, I'm on a journey with other people and that means a lot. So I thank everybody out there.
So we've been chatting with Jane and Peter. Jane's been talking about her experience.
Jane who?
Jane Garrett. Jane Garrett, the member for Brunswick. Jane's been talking about her experience with breast cancer and the impact that that's had on your health and your mental health. I'm interested in taking that a step further and exploring some of the other impacts on your mental health. And, you know, we all know, and as part of the LGBTI community, we're all very clear about and understand the links between things like bullying and mental health. And so you've had an experience with bullying in your role as a Member of Parliament. Can you tell us a bit about that, Jane?
Oh, look, I think it was very well documented, some of the issues that I had to face in my role. It's at times incredibly distressing, and your mental health issues, how you feel and how that manifests itself. I'm a really generally happy person. I'm that kind of person. I get, you know, I'm energised and I feel good, and I don't like feeling down. And I think when you're dealing with unexpected events, it impacts people in different ways. But for me, I found that it hit me and in a way that you were experiencing emotions that you're not used to and really drag you down, and that then of course impacts on how you go about the rest of your life. So when you look at the AOC stuff, which you guys have done huge amounts on, looking at that, the issue of bullying and the treatment of people, particularly where there's a significant concentration of power, I think it's a bit like when you look at institutions of government, the Westminster system, it's pretty much all there to have checks and balances on people's conduct and behaviour so no one can rampantly get out of control. And where there's organisations where that does occur, and I don't know personally those matters, but it's, you know, human nature, the dark side of human nature can be allowed to flourish. And without the checks and balances, I think those things, they happen over time. So people, they cross lines, small lines first, and then bigger ones, and then and then you justify it to yourself that, oh, this is part of some greater good, or I'm doing this for a reason, or it's very important I have these positions, otherwise, but I think shining this light on this kind of conduct is critical, and the work of the Human Rights Commission and those bodies looking at these matters is really important.
And so what do you do to recover from this? Like, what are the actions that you can take?
And so can I just say, I saw Jane not long, it's about 2 years ago, after this one of these incidents, and it was at a semi-private function, and you were pretty rattled, and we'd only met once before, and there was, and I won't say who it was, another good friend of ours was there as well, and, you know, people don't understand the impact that this has, and how you deal with it, and how you move on with it. It's a challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, I think it's happening. It happens all across workplaces.
Mm, yes.
And particularly, you know, workplaces are that place where you're a captive audience. You're in a building or a work site, or you have a boss and all of those things. So I know, and I was a discrimination lawyer before I went into politics, and often that kind of behaviour goes hand in hand with anti-female or, you know, homophobia, those issues. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, and it's disproportionate. And you know, I would constantly, it was some years back now, but the fight of, you know, and it still continues, about women coming back to work part-time, you know, or how they're treated if they, you know, are pregnant. Why do we have so many women at university in subjects more than men often? And then you get to sort of middle and upper management of places, and then it's absolute reversed. Casualised industries, you know, female dominating, all of these issues. And so often I think those things, they're all a complex interaction with them, and you need several mechanisms and responses. You need your legislative changes, you need your discrimination acts, you need your equal opportunity bodies, but you need these public discussions about it. You know, you need the changing the community's perceptions. It can be really, really hard to do that. And there's many brave people, as we all know, who have stood up before us and will have to continue to stand up to address these issues.
Is it getting better? Is it getting easier, or is this something that's just going to be a continual fight or campaign?
With respect to my,
generally, bullying. I'm talking about bullying.
I think what we're seeing now is a spotlight on this kind of behaviour. I think it's been bad in lots of places. Mm. It'll only get better with these kinds of spotlights and discussions and actions. Yep. I think people have been you know, there's a whole range of reasons why it's been allowed to flourish, particularly in certain areas. Again, I go back to the closed door power, too much power concentrated in too few. That's where I think it really is allowed to shine.
You know, I think of another form of bullying. A lot of people don't think of it like this, but unconscious bias.
Correct.
Yes. That this is another form of bullying. Now, it's most extreme, which is conscious bias, which is that tool Bill O'Reilly on Fox News, who got paid out $30 million to leave, and the Murdochs and Fox News paid $13 million to settle sexual harassment claims. Mm. Right. This sort of stuff, you know, an unconscious bias, you know, as a woman, as a minister, as a previous minister, as a member of parliament, it must really shit you.
Yeah. Yeah, like, and I've got two daughters, and I think, look, I think we've come, sometimes you feel you've come, that the movement, say the female rights movement's come a long way. Then, of course, you have the counter, and I think a lot of the feminist writers, you know, past, you know, de Beauvoir, you know, the second sex, so much of that is true right now, and the modern analysis of it. And you come, I was speaking with a strong feminist recently, and you take these steps, and then you brace for the backlash, and you guys know this all too well. You brace for the backlash, and that can come in many different forms. I think we've done well in the Labor Party with affirmative action targets and all of that, and we have a lot of women in, which is good. But like every part of the community, we've got a long way to go. And unconscious bias is exactly, you know, it's the direct and the indirect discrimination
and
all of those
issues.
And
it's easy for people to deny. Oh, no, you know, of course not, you know.
But if it's unconscious bias, it may well be that people are kind of hardwired for that anyway. And
yeah.
And it's something that...
Well, I call it, even, you know, it's unconscious, subconscious bias.
Yes, and it may be something that people don't even realise they've done.
Yeah, but, you know, often when you point it out to them, first they deny it.
Might be different, yes.
And then they go, oh, really? Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
Mm. Reflect.
Yes. I've got. Can I?
Always no, just,
so I was at a function for Emily's List, which is the body set up to promote women in politics, and Julia Gillard was there launching a mentoring program, and she was just fresh off the plane from LA, having been working with kids in developing countries. Female education's her big thing, but she was sharing a story about a study. I think it was done out of Columbia University, where they an online course where for half the students the person who was doing the course presented themselves as a male, and for the other half presented as a female. So there's people doing the course thought it was a bloke, people doing thought it was a chick, and then they said evaluate how you felt the course went, and the people and who how you felt about the presenter. And the people who thought it was a bloke gave a really glowing report, and the people who thought it was a chick had a real crack. And there's stuff like that happening all the time. So in terms of your unconscious bias, absolutely. Similar thing done with job applications.
Yeah. Yes.
One said this is exactly the same CV, bloke, chick, you know, two groups thinking it was the different one. Great, glowing report for the bloke. The chick was given, oh, you know, this, that and the other. And that is what we're
grappling
with. So the
state government's running a trial on those for recruitment of public servants. So they're stripping out name and age
blind
and
recruiting.
Address.
Yep. Yeah.
A lot of companies are doing it. Now, unfortunately, Jane, we've run out of time. But
I could have talked all day.
I know.
I might just stay.
Well, we will.
Well, you can if you want to.
Yeah, you're welcome to stay.
I won't do that, do you?
We will have you back, because there's a whole lot of issues that we want to unpack. I want to thank you for your support of our community. I want to thank you for the courage in facing the issues you've faced. And, you know, some of them we haven't talked about and we don't need to. Thanks for making your time today, and let's have you back, you know, in a few weeks.
Love to.
Perhaps as a co-host.
Well, I would just love that.
Hey! Yes!
Okay. This is a ton of fun, and thank
Fantastic.
You. And thank you for having me on.
It's a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.